Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to the Outdoor Show, hour number three. It's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Corpus Christi. Let's check in with Captain Cliff Webb. I'm sure he survived Thanksgiving quite well. What's up, Cliffy?
Oh, no, nothing, dude. Watching this wind blowing.
Oh, it's a cranker.
God almighty, I was thinking about getting the old kite board out this morning, man. No.
Do people still do that a lot down there?
Oh, God.
You were fishing kites?
Yeah. You ought to see this one guy here.
He's or sales
pro.
Or whatever you call
him. Yeah, he was out. I don't know what day it was really windy. Of course, it's been windy, but the other day it was really windy. And this guy's jumping 15, 20 feet in the air. But the cool thing about this guy is he didn't have any straps on his board. Like, they're not strapped to his feet. So when he goes up in the air, he grabs his other hand, holds the board up against his feet, and lands on the water with it still under his leg. So this guy's a pro. He's just disgusting. It's really good. Yeah, but there's a lot of them out there right now. But there'll be some of the really good guys out there on wind like this. And, man, there's no room for error. You know, my wife was a kiteboard instructor. She did it for a long time, you know. And we really got into kiteboarding all, you know, for a while. But you start out with a trainer kite where you learn to fly the kite in different positions so you don't get drug across the land, which has happened before, you know. I guess one of the best kite stories I ever had was – she was going to give this lawyer a lesson, and you start out with a trainer kite. It's a little kite, and you fly, and you learn how to fly, you know. The second day, she straps him on the big kite, you know, and puts the kite on the ground. And you put some sand on it so it kind of stays on the ground, and you get in your harness, and you kind of pull it up and flip it off the ground, and you try to get it at 12 o'clock so it doesn't drag you across. And, well, you got it about 3 o'clock. And that sucker started dragging him down the beach. And I'm sitting with my wife going, all the people you got to drag him, you know, anyway. So eventually the kite crashed and he was okay. But I think that was her last lesson after that. But anyway, it's all good. But doing good, Mickey. Just been doing some surfing, fishing, hunting. It's just been a crazy week. You just wake up every day and it's different, you know, this time of year. I was supposed to have a trip yesterday. Of course, got blown out yesterday. God, I wanted to go, but I'm kind of looking forward to this next week. At least it'll be the same direction and, you know, get a pattern going out the north. I like that straight north wind for a week, personally, you know.
Yeah, if it'll stay straight north, but, man, up here, they're showing us to have a lot of northeast in ours.
Yeah, I know what that northeast. But, you know, I like a north. I just, the northwest is the kiss of death there. I just hard for me on the northwest. I'd rather have a northeast. You know, sometimes that due east is hard, but, man, those north and northeast here are pretty good for me if it'll stay consistent. Once you get the high pressure out of the way at the first few days, it's good. Mm-hmm. But I got a trip on Monday and got some really good guys.
Yeah, if you pull the northwest, you're going to get a lot of high pressure with it.
Yes, and so that's hopefully doesn't happen. But
which doesn't hurt us up here, you know, in north and west. We got miles and miles of protected bluff-like shorelines for a northwest that behind northers you can do. You lose your water, but you got deeper structure off these shorelines that those fish fall off on it that helps you. So.
And that's what happens here. They go deep. They'll go deep in the west a lot and pressure get them. But, you know, and once they adjust to it, it's better. It's so funny how the beginning of the year they don't adjust to the pressure change as well as they do later on in the year. They don't shut down as much.
Right.
But I got my new Southerly jacket in the mail. I don't know if you got yours.
Hey, I got mine. Boy, are those nice or what?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
Man, the material is so soft and durable feeling. You know, it just, you go, is this thing going to be dry?
yeah. Well, we're going to find out. Yes,
man, it's no nice stuff. Well,
I've been really impressed with the waders and
Now, yours ought to stiffen up real good in that starchy salt water you got. That ought to stiffen yours up quite a bit.
Yeah. That's funny when you come in, you don't rinse your jacket off, it looks like a glazed donut in the corner. You know, it's just nuts, man. Amount of salt.
Hey, when your waders dry, you can just stand them up in the corner from down there. It's just crushed. It's salt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts, you know.
And harsh environment.
I've seen days in Bath, you know, 20 years ago, we had some droughts and stuff where the whole shoreline had like a little salt rim all the way around the bay.
Right.
You know, you go up there and get you some salt to put on your Corona, on your beer, anytime you wanted to. You know, it's just like, it was some salty stuff, man. But fishing we just need to get the water temperature down. We had some high 70s and stuff, and our fish is still in the summer pattern. The fish we're catching are still, you know, and that, I mean, scattered out deal. They're not in the trenches. They're not in the mud. They're not in the channel walls right now. It just hadn't been cold enough, but it's going to. I think this week I'm going to hopefully get to do a corky fishing Monday. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, man.
I'm looking forward to the thump.
Proverbial thump.
I know it.
That's a good bite.
Yeah. I'm hearing they're still catching some good fish in Mansfield. I think Wyatt and a lot of my guy Chase, the Blackwells, all been fishing Mansfield. I think even Chad may have went down there. But it's funny how they're still catching some good fish in the flats, and our fish are still kind of scattered, but they're still catching more fish down there, it seems to be, right now. So we'll see. But I'm thinking Mansfield may take a little pressure off Bathing this year, Mickey. You know, it's just like everybody's going to Mansfield this winter, so maybe it'll take a little pressure off me here.
Yeah, that's the new hot ticket. Everybody jumps ship and runs down there, you know, for the December, January, February run, and leaves good old Baffin to you. Hey,
well, it's easier to fish there. For one thing, you ain't got to run around and worry about the crash your lower unit on rocks all the time. You can burn. Well,
that's
and look
so
for
true.
Fish and,
I'm telling you.
You know, it's
so
easy for everybody. Then, you know, you're wide open. There's no place to hide. You know, you see somebody on fish, you know where they caught them, so everybody swoops in them the next day. You know, most of the big mud plats are well known, so it's just a matter of everybody pounding the areas of the fish. But that's the one thing, is you can run wide open and locate fish with your burn boats and your bait. Here, you know, you kind of got to zigzag around and putt around and stuff to get around the area.
You better know what you're doing. You know, you better know where you're running and have confidence in a run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what gets people here with this low tide. That some of these low tides, we're still seeing stuff that, you know, I can't believe that we run over and don't hit. You know, it's just you just really got to pay attention. Even in bathing these days, there's so much stuff that's still sticking out of the water on these low tides.
There's so much stuff that, you know,
there is.
Guys like you've been down there forever still don't know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they pull these cabins out too, and they never take the post out, Mickey. They never take that big old post full of concrete, or they do to them to get them down, you know, 6 foot in the mud. They leave them there, you know, and
right.
Eventually what happens is the top of the pipe rust off, you know, falls. There's one on the Kennedy Ranch shoreline, which is used to be 6 foot out of the water. Now it's 2 foot under the water, you know, because it's rusted away. It's just rusted away from the environment. And then it gets to be dangerous when it gets under the 2 foot of water. And you hope that when you put a little PVC pipe on it, somebody doesn't pull it up. I don't understand that. We put one on the other day, that cabin and bath, and we went to all the trouble to drive a stake down there with a, you know, painted the top of it red. Somebody's already pulled it up. I don't know why. You know, it's a old pipe there. It's like they want somebody to hit something. I don't want anybody to hit anything.
No, that you never want to. Man, it's too much can happen.
Oh, God. You know, it's just.
That's dangerous, man.
All the stories of people hitting stuff down here. But, hey, man, well, so. Are you guys seeing any ducks? We're not seeing any ducks down here. Very few. I don't know where they are, but they're not coming, man.
There's not the ducks there should be. Heck no.
What's going on?
I
hear duck hunters shoot 2 times in the morning, maybe 3 times at my house. Normally, it's just like a war zone around my house. It's not happening.
Well, I texted Bink last night watching that ball game and said, are you hunting in the morning? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, we'll do live from the blind. And He said we saw 24 ducks today and we shot 12 of them.
God, that's pretty good odds. I mean, it's pretty good shooting.
Well, that's good shooting, but I mean, that's just
I
wouldn't call that great huntable numbers, you know.
Oh my God.
Just kind of depends on where you're at, right time, right place, where the birds move, what few we have skirting around, and who's holding them and not. A lot of guys I know that I've been hunting 50 years around here, and they're hunting once a week on their spot and then having to rest it up the rest of the time. Used to, these are spots that you can hunt every single day and always have birds.
I remember a Thanksgiving that I was working for Doug. I was a young kid. I was 20 years old, and I was helped Doug run duck trips down the land cut, and he was all hunting the 9 mile hole of the graveyard back there with all those thousands of widgeons and pintails by the millions in there.
Boy,
and I would, in the morning, we'd drop off the hunters in the blinds back in the south end of the hole, on the 9 mile hole, and two groups of them. And when those ducks got up, you couldn't even talk. It was so loud. Just millions of ducks getting off the water. It was just like a roar of wind, you know. And then I'll never forget when they come over, all the feathers and crap falling, you know. It's just like I can't believe they don't run into each other.
I know.
And then they do all the, you know, coming back in, you know, and everybody would shoot all their 10 pintails, and I think the limit was 10 back then, and get their 10 widgeons, and, you know, it was just like crazy.
Yeah, back then you had the 100-point system. You had all those 10-point ducks, you know.
Yes, 10-point ducks, you know.
Well, you know, was that 2 springs ago when John and I, we came down there and fished with you? We're running down the intercoastal. I couldn't believe all the redheads and bluebills, all the diver ducks and widgeon and pintail just getting up off the water for miles. Yeah. I'm going, my gosh, here's where all the ducks are.
Yeah, you should have seen it.
Nobody hunted
34
them.
Years ago. No, nobody hunts them. And that was, you know, so big, you know, 40 years ago, everybody was duck hunting right around the bridge here. There was 30 or 40 blinds just within, you know, side of marker 37. Mike Cousins and Randy's airboat and, you know, run you over there and get you a limit of redheads and pintails. And, you know, and I think it's just, you know, you said something earlier about Ducks Unlimited making all these ponds and stuff up north that the ducks are stopping on. Maybe that.
Well, they have all these projects, you know, up north, and plus they're planting more in Arkansas and all up through that way. That's it's just short stopping these birds, man. They have no. Mm-hmm. unless you get an Arctic blast, there's no reason for them to come all the way to the coast.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You know,
and I've only heard one flock of geese in the middle of the night. I haven't heard the geese yet. So I'm thinking after this week, maybe things will get turned around.
Maybe
Norm,
so.
I've been trying to hunt, you know, and it's just the only day I was hunting was decently cool. And I sat in the blind trying to kill a hog, and just five hogs come out. Every one of them is a boar. I just can't shoot those boars.
I need to text you a picture of a hog. It's gonna blow your mind. Let me knock this commercial break out, Cliff.
Right,
I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang on a second.
All right, thanks.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's going to be as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. They have them on display there at the store. They're different size bottles. They refill your bottles there, all their regulators, diffusers, more info. Just call Jason Cochran. He can hook you up, 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farm-raised at Boyd's. And they've been getting a few crawfish in, so you might want to check their website for that. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food, and so does their food truck over in Santa Fe. Really hot items right now. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. When you do, tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:19 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
That ain't a hog, dude. That's a cow. That's unbelievable.
Hey, I'm telling you, it looked like a black bear hanging there. See how
big
short
Zillow
and
there.
Fat it makes the legs look
oh
and the feet.
Oh, my God, that's big. That thing's over 400 pounds, isn't it?
Look at the back rack on that thing, man. That's a huge boar right there, buddy.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest ones I've seen, you know. God, I don't know. I like that little video where they're dragging him down the road. There's no way you could ever load that thing.
Who's going to load that up? And that Polaris couldn't haul that thing. It wouldn't even fit in a bed of it.
I remember when my dad had a good friend. He was a veterinarian, Doc Blunzer, and they got to drinking one night, and my laundry told my dad, my dad was going hogging on the Green Lake. That's the biggest lake, natural lake in Texas. It's up by the Tavola. And he's been seeing this big black hog in there. He's wanting to shoot it, you know. And Blunzer says, well, if you shoot it, I'll skin it, you know. And so the next night, my grandpa and my dad went out there. There was this giant hog on the shoreline there. And it turned out to be 445 pounds field dressed. But
Lord.
My dad, he said he had a 243, and he's sneaking up on it. It's like a little PVC pipe sticking up next to the lake, and he puts that gun to rest it on the PVC pipe, and it's just rattling. He was so nervous, and he shot that pig. He shot that pig in the head, and two of them could. My grandpa had a El Camino. Remember the old El Caminos?
I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah, and the two of them could not get that hog in that El Camino, not in his head. So they tied a rope on it, and they tried to drag it out of the lake, and they stuck the El Camino. Anyways, long story short, they finally got that thing to Doc Blunder's house, the veterinarian, about 9 o'clock the next morning, had it hanging on his porch, you know. So it was good stuff. But, you know, those big old boars, you know, I let them go. Now, I used to shoot them, but I didn't want to mess with them anymore. You know, I don't want to drag them off. I don't want to mess up my hunting area. And, you know, that's what a lot of my hunters will do in the beginning of the year, that they got a big buck that's been real nice and quiet in there all year long. Right. And then as soon as they show up at the beginning of the season, they want to shoot all the hogs and stuff around their blind, the does and stuff, and they send it up, and the buck never comes out. If you were smart, you shoot your buck first and leave it real quiet and get your big buck at the beginning of the year, the first 2 days, before he turns nocturnal, and then exactly. Clean up around your blind, you know, but you can't tell them that. So all my areas that I'm hunting, there hasn't been a shot fired yet, and I've got a pretty good bunch of deer around and stuff that are real, you know, real calm and stuff. But as soon as you deer are smart, as soon as you shoot something, then you walk around there and scent the place up and get stuff out, that big buck that's been around your feed or your protein stuff is probably going to get there a little late, like 9 o'clock at night, you know, because that's kind of, they're pretty smart.
Well, that was a picture of a nice buck, man. How wide was that thing?
Oh, my God. So
split G2s on both sides.
Yes.
Kicker
and that deer's
right
alive.
Beam.
That deer. Yeah, that deer's 3.5 years old, Mickey. I was talking to Barry, and they do their deer catch every year in Laredo with the helicopters. And they throw these nets on these deer, you know, and they put them in these pens to breed them and stuff. That's kind of what they do, you know. And this buck, they never could get it with the helicopter. So I think they tranquilized it or something. And that deer's 3.5 years old. And I think he scores 219. 28.5 inches wide. Isn't that a deer?
Boy, he's got a spread on him, buddy.
He does. Just beautiful. Man, just a beautiful deer. But,
so that, picture of that deer was darted?
Yeah, darted. He's still alive. I got one picture.
He looks a little drunk in the face.
Yeah, he does look like he's been
looks a little woozy there.
The
one ear back, one ear hanging down. And
that video I like is Barry and the, I don't know if it's Dusty Cuppy's buddy. You know, those guys are strong. They catch those deer alive. They don't tranquilize or nothing. They grab them by the horns and they hold them, you know, and transport them. And
better them than me.
I'm gonna tell you what, dude. They let this one go. I got a video of it, and two guys were holding it. And when they let that deer go, thank God it didn't charge him, because that deer was mad. That was a big buck, and he come out of there, and there was nothing wrong with him. He bolted, you know. But it's nuts how tough those deer are.
Especially down there, South Texas bucks are just tough. I mean, they live in that environment. I mean, it's like Africa down there.
Mm-hmm. It is. And Laredo's a special place, you know, where they hunt those deer so big and so tough. And he shot his daughter, shot a pig that only had three legs. The leg was gone on one of the shoulders, and that, you know, it's just gone. I mean, it got cut off when it was little. I know somebody blew it off or coyote ate it, but it was totally healed over, and
right.
He's doing fine, you know.
Running like a three-legged pig.
Like a three-legged pig. You know, it's kind of bad you shoot when you kind of lose that shoulder.
Yeah, that's crazy. My favorite part of those feral pigs, man, is that front shoulder, man.
Oh, yeah. My wife cooks them in the oven for about 4 or 5 hours, and they just got to make pulled pork out of them. They're so good.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, those ribs,
time,
dude, those big old – our deal is those hogs eat corn all year long at our place. They got all this farmland, and plus we're feeding corn all year long. So these guys are not like your normal wild hog. They got 2 inches of white fat on them.
Organic pigs, baby.
Yeah, organic pigs. Yeah. And I like those ribs, man. I'm still just – there ain't nothing like wild pig ribs. I'm sorry. They're good.
No, there ain't much meat on them, but, boy, they sure are tasty. I like to get a little crusty – over those, when you cook them, kind of sear them at first and get your little crust build up, and then sweat them back and slow them way down. And
when
the tender falls off the bone with a little crunch to it, that's pretty good stuff, man.
And, you know, it's so funny because the little pigs are good, but those ones that are 200, 150 pound style that are really fat have the best ribs. They really do. You know, I probably shoot the biggest.
Gotta have fat on them ribs, man, to hold that flavor in that meat.
Yeah, that's the best thing. The best eating thing on our place is those pigs, you know. Eventually, I'll get some dough meat to take to Belleville. I'm looking forward to taking that stuff up there and get some Chipotle sausage. Man, I love that Chipotle sausage that Belleville makes. Oh,
sweet,
my God.
Sweet Chipotle, and, hey, they're dry sticks to carry out in the boats.
Yeah.
Speaking of Belleville, I had a guy text me earlier and said, man, you were right. You were spot on those Belleville turkeys. He said they were delicious.
I was wanting to get one this year. You know, we used to get in those Greenberg's turkeys or something many years ago, 30 years ago, we get one. Now that I'm here in the Belleville, is it a baked turkey or totally smoked?
No, it's a totally pecan smoked turkey.
Yeah, I might get one for Christmas.
It comes with directions, and you heat it up in the oven and serve it.
Man.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, my crew came here.
I've never had a bad one. Just follow the instructions. You can't go wrong, man.
My crew shows up Thanksgiving. There was no leftovers left. Between the grandkids and my boys, there was no leftovers. I had no turkey sandwiches.
I got so much food around here. It's just pitiful. What a waste.
Yeah.
But my wife loves cooking. I mean, that's been her, that's her passion.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's all she does. She loves to cook and bake and watch cooking shows and HDTV.
Man, I'm surprised you don't weigh 350 pounds. You're lucky.
Well, I'm getting there, buddy. It's unbelievable.
You're getting there.
I mean, she's been feeding me like this for 50 years now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I guess she's trying to be like my grandmother. My grandma fed 3 or 4 husbands to death. That's what my daddy always accused her of. She said, man, you feeding these guys to death, Isla.
God almighty.
Back off.
You know, that's one thing I love about our clients. You know, you got the same ones I got, dude. When they come in from Houston, they usually stop by Proshik's or, you know, bring some Belleville summer sausage. So I get to test all the stuff all went along that you guys are talking about, you know, all the Belleville smoke sticks and all that stuff. And
man, them dry sticks and their summer sausage. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of it. All their smoked sausage. Tamales are unbelievable. I mean, they're just, like, huge.
Yes, I got them last year.
One of their tamales equals 3 of somebody else's.
Yeah, I got to get them made this year. We didn't get them last year, but I'm going to try to get them done this year. You tell them double meat on that, Mickey, or just regular?
What, on the tamales?
Yeah, you tell them to make double meat.
I think it's 50-50, you know?
Well, I've seen them, you know, I mean, I've seen them as big as your arm. Then I've seen them just regular size. Do you have to specify that you want them big like that?
No, I've never specified. I just, the ones I get are, man, one is a meal. They're almost
the ones I got last year were just, they were just regular size. They were just regular size tamales.
Yeah.
So this year I'm going to tell them to make them big, you know? That was some good stuff. And I had one guy that gave me a pack of Axis tamales made at Belleville. You talk about ruin you.
Slap your mama.
Yes, and I'm telling you, man. And it's so funny because the Axis deer have really come back in Texas since all those freezes and stuff. It's amazing how they're just
They come back pretty strong, man.
And really strong.
Hearing about good Axis hunts all over the state now. Yeah. Boy, I remember that one freeze there. It knocked a dent in
them. Wiped them out.
Black bucks, it knocked them out.
Yeah. That was unbelievable how many we lost. Some of the ranches lost 70%, 80% of the Axis, and they came back. I know a couple of ranches that didn't lose and were selling the ones they had left for high dollar to replenish the other ranches. It was a big deal. But, man, that is a good eating critter right there.
Yeah, I went up there and hunted with Leon, one of Crocker's buddies up there around Maynard, what depends on where you're from, how you pronounce it. But, man, I was up there at Maynard Creek and herds of Axis. I couldn't believe. I said, man,
really?
Most turkeys and most Axis deer I ever seen on one hunt. Days I was there.
Is it a high fence or low fence?
No, it's all low fence. Beautiful place.
That's something. You know, Kerrville had a lot of Axis.
Unbelievable bass fishing.
Really?
Oh, man. Crystal clear water, flipping them worms up next to that grass and let one float down Texas rig and just take it out of your hands, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Nice bass. That was fun. Good trip.
Yeah. I know it, man. That's good stuff. I love when I went to Mexico all the time to get the bass fish. We'd be on a surf trip and there'd be all these lakes, and we'd always take our rod and reels and stop at some of these crazy lakes. And a lot of times they didn't have a boat. We know we just walk around the bank, but those fish had never seen a bass lure.
No.
Just jump all over it. You know, crazy.
That's my favorite catch is stupid fish.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to fool well, the trout. Much.
Hey, man, the trout used to be a lot more stupid down here. Now they're getting smarter
every year. They're getting dumber, man.
I think I'm getting dumber, but they're getting chased more, Mickey. One thing I really noticed, their antennas are up all the time now. Like before, they were a boat never came by. Two, 3 days, a boat never came by. They're all relaxed in the flat. Now it's like, better move to get run over. Better move to get run over. You know, so they're not near as relaxed as they used to be. There's nothing better than a relaxed trout. You get a trout with his antennas up, they're hard to catch. They really are.
I mean, I like the hungry, stupid ones. As soon as the lure hits the water, he's swimming off with it, man.
Hey, you remember Ernie Durr? All right, buddy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I'm sorry, but I tell you one story. I found a tape from Ernie Durr made it, and we were standing on a console of my Mayak, and Ernie Durr had a pair of sunglasses on. He popped out one of the lenses and put it on his camera lens, and we're going down the King Ranch, Alazan, all that stuff, filming fish. And I found it the other day, and I got to get a copy to send you a copy. It's the best trout video you've ever seen, a big trout. They're just all over the place running under the boat. It's nuts, man.
So with the polarized lens over the camera lens,
you can see them
penetrate the water and see them moving out of the water.
Oh, just see these giant logs running. But anyway,
how cool is that?
All right, Mickey, I appreciate you having me on, buddy.
Hey, we'll throw your number out. Somebody wants to come down and fish baffin this winter, man.
Yeah, come on. It's going to be good. It's area code 361-949-0707. Thanks, Mickey.
All right, you get on some stupid ones, let me know. I'm coming running.
All right, buddy, I will. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Later. All right. I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Easy to find, located right in downtown Belleville. Short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go downtown, look for the big white sign, pull in. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And right now with deer season going on, they're taking in a lot of deer right now. But don't worry about it. They're not too busy. They can handle a lot. 3-lane drop-off system. First-class service. They even wash your cooler out for you when you drop your deer off. They track it all the way through the process. And packaging second to none. It stays fresh in the freezer forever. So let the guys at the Belleville take really good care of you. They always do. And check out their pecan smoked barbecue. They have a full menu of it that's served all week long, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Beef jerky, turkey jerky, grab-and-go products like their dry sticks, my favorite, and check them out on the web or just go by the store. The Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right. It is 6:37 here in the Bayou City. So let's kind of do some live from the bland with Bink Grimes this morning. Let's go down to the marsh, see what he's doing. Bink, what's up?
Good morning. How y'all?
Couldn't be better. How you doing, man?
Oh, got a little southeast wind blowing behind me. It feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Got my head on the swivel. I don't know which way we're going to come from today. I haven't heard this kind of wind in a long time.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah, it kind of warmed up a little during the night.
Not yeah,
a lot, but a little bit. You know, it's feels better than that. Man, that east wind had cut you in half yesterday.
Yeah, it did. Man, it was cold. Yes, it got cold. We got a little cloud bank roll in about 2 miles yesterday. Man, it was chilly.
Right.
But I'm taking east wind, man. We kind of scratched the cloud out of him yesterday and ended up with a lot of bugs and had a cinnamon teal and all that. It was pretty cool.
Oh, you had a cinnamon yesterday? Well, that's cool.
Yeah. We're kind of anxious to see what, with a lot of folks hunting on Saturday, what it does. We're still, you know, we're just scratching and clawing at them. We got birds, but it's not what we want. But we've got better conditions today. But we've been having pretty damn good shoots. So it's not fast and furious. You have to seize
your opportunities.
You have to.
Yeah.
You just have to. But we. That's it. Hold on, that's right here. Right here, boys, right here.
Get them.
Let them come down. They're going to come down. Coming around, Mike, you're going to kill them. If you can. Yeah, kill them. Kill them. There's one. Two. Got two. That a boy.
Two in one shot?
Yep, sure did. Flip.
Awesome.
They come around. Yeah, you got two of them.
You got good light this morning, or is it a little dark out there?
No, it's dark. It's real dark. Which I mean that cloud bank. When I left Bay City this morning, it was I had stars and everything. You get down here in Matagorda, you got a big old cloud bank.
So. Right.
Mm-hmm. We shot one right about shooting times. So we're sitting on three now.
Yeah, thank you.
They're all man, we're hoping this next cold front.
Bring some new birds down, man. We need some new
residents. We keep saying that, you know. Yeah, we keep saying that, you know. And we're fishing to get a break after tomorrow. And let me see there. Hold on, buddy. We send this dog. Look. Send this dog. I got another cripple over here. Look. And we got a another cold front coming. I think we're going to hunt probably a hard north wind in the morning, it looks like. Looks like it's going to come through here.
It's
going to
be pretty breezy, brother.
What it looks like. So we're going to come from the southeast today and hard north tomorrow. They just passed it. Good. About 4 seconds ago, we went through here and didn't see it. They're shooting a few geese in this marsh.
Are you?
Yeah, sure have. This week. Sure have. Had two or three each hunt. So, we'll take that.
Well,
I don't have a clue whether it is or not, because I usually know where they're coming from, but they're coming from a long way when they're getting to this marsh. They're kind of setting their wings and coming through there. There's not a whole lot of water anywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what that was. And normally in January, there's no birds. And on this part of the county, will get in that marsh, kind of like they did in Chambers County, you know?
Right.
Kind of like they did in Chambers County back, you know, when they get in the marsh, they get over there off Long Island Bayou, you know, and get grit on that sand over there.
Well, they used to raft up back there big time.
Right on that sand marsh. And we, when we had hunting those too, you know, you get a stiff wind up there, you get a Long Island snow back then.
Boy, I remember one time I was running a fishing trip. And
they're hanging up in this wind. Yeah, well, this is like hunting a big old north wind you got today. You got to let them get to you because you got one shot on them. And after that first shot, you know, they're...
Oh, once they bank, they're out of range, dude.
I mean, it's 20. I don't know what it's showing on the wind bill, but it's humped up over 20 right now.
Oh, it, for sure. Yeah, 25 in a lot of places, Bink.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Exactly what it feels like. I'm come over the top. I'm trying to shoot it.
You had to shoot it.
Eight foot lead, a 20 knot wind.
8 foot lead.
We shot a really nice green one. We shot a really nice cinnamon teal yesterday. We had, probably a pile of 25 green wings come through, and, man, they just did it. We were sitting down, and we didn't even call, didn't see nothing. We looked up, and they made a bank, and they just set up so pretty and balled up, and we cut into them. And I think we cut six out of that bunch, and my dog come back with just a full plumage cinnamon teal. And I haven't seen too many cinnamons with green wings. I always see them with blue wings, you know. We kill 4 or 5 a year out here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were with a bunch of green wings. But, man, it sure was pretty. Sure made the hunt yesterday.
I bet it did.
Boy, just full plumage. And just, you know, just a little, just cut the feather on out of the rest of it. Just really, really pretty. Right here, boys. I got a bunch of white ibises in here. You know how... You know, snow geese look crazy when in a 20, 25 knot wind. They don't look like normal when they're cutting it. You know, a lot of times they look like ibises. And so, and I got a lot of white ibises in this marsh too. So, yesterday they fooled me in that east wind. So I thought they were ibises coming across because they just were bucking it and gliding and you know, doing what normal snow geese do. And we missed an opportunity to be able to, you know, hook bills. So, yeah, we're hoping, man. We're hoping we get a little influx of birds. We're gonna enjoy the little two week hiatus. We sure could use some of that rain today, man. The marsh is getting dry.
We could use a
shot of rain today. Hey, I think everybody could, you know. We had to find some spots to move around to get decoys to float this morning.
Man.
I mean, I was scouting this hole that we're in today. And it's a flat, and it's got little mud clumps all around it. You know, it's usually sitting at about knee-deep water, but, man, it's not even covering your feet in some spots. It started out like that, but, the kind of October and the kind of November we had, just evaporation was just getting it. I have to fill my pool up in all my places, you know, every 3 or 4 days. Just evaporating all that. So we didn't have much wind. We had just a little bit of wind, and the spots that had more water had a little ripple on it, and, man, those ducks were doing right there. That's what we were trying to find this morning. We just kind of set up and come out right out in the middle of a pond and see if they'll come to us. So far they have. Just need some traffic. Yeah. Maybe
we normally get more rain in this in the fall than we've had so far.
Oh, man, we do. You bank on it, you know. I don't need that much. Because the rain, the high ground drains down to this marsh, you know. So I don't need that much. You look up and you think it's a 1-2-inch rain, and then your water levels arrive 6 or 7 inches because you're down at the bottom of the, you know, everybody don't know all that stuff that you pour out in Houston and all that ends up in Galveston Bay, ladies and gentlemen. And the same thing about it, it flows down here.
It really does.
it really does. A lot of people don't see that, but we do daily out there, you know?
Yep.
Going downhill. But I think, this week has kind of been, you know, our Thanksgiving week is usually a pretty, you know, you think, at least be here by Thanksgiving. But we've had a really, really, we've had some decent weather to shoot them, but we just have to really, really fight for them this week. Another one of those. Did you hear that?
Yeah, how far are they from you?
Oh, probably about a half a mile.
Yeah.
But they're downwind of me. Downwind of me.
Upwind.
I hear everything there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're kind of bouncing them back and forth, what we're trying to do. Not new steel. But hadn't been a whole lot of shooting going on. I got teal over here, boys.
Get them in there.
Three big time. Oh, they didn't do it.
They wouldn't play ball.
Really, really. Oh, yeah, we got two big ones. No, look at Oh, there's a teal right there. See, right there, he landed.
Well, they slip in big time.
Oh, they did. I'm gonna try to shoot him. He might come around, Mike. He went and landed with a bunch of shorebirds. They did. I mean, like I said, it's still dark, and all these little water birds and everything flying, and everything's down low because of just the wind's blowing so hard. You know, you gotta really watch. You don't want to shoot a piping plover or you know,
Wilson fell a rope.
Yeah.
I always love pronouncing that bird a Wilson phalarope.
You know, they our bird count coming up. Matagorda County is a birders. People come from all over the world to count birds here.
Right.
And our bird count is the next, sometimes it's week, matter of fact. What's the first week of December? It's usually between us, Matagorda County, and New Oasis County, I believe. One of the counties is who can count the most different species. And sometimes they beat us, but we usually win. We'll have birders from all over the country roll into town with binoculars and oh, man. Where'd they come from? they're not flying like ducks in this wind. They look like shorebirds.
Kill them dead ducks.
I looked up and they're right behind me. That's exactly right. And I got veteran hunters here that know what ducks look like, along with me. But they don't look. They just don't look like this in a wind like this. But yeah, we got the birder thing, and they'll come in. They'll come at our marsh. It seems like it always runs during the split, and they'll try to count our ducks, you know, and I'll try to come out here and help them and say, hey, look, there's a canvas back there, because they've got to see it to count.
Right.
They got to be able to, you know, try to get them at least all the duck species that we have, you know, because sometimes they don't know, you know, they don't know what a can is. Most of them do, but they can't see it. And I said, man, you know, been hunting out here. Hey, there's a canvas back over there. You you need to glass it, you know, and you know.
When's the split start next weekend?
Yeah, split start. Yeah, start. It's over. Dove season's over.
Sunday evening next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we set back off on the 13th. So yeah, it, that burden generates a lot to our economy in Bay City and Matagorda and everything. Our Chamber of Commerce really push it because you take it for granted, but this is the end of the thermometer for a lot of these birds, and they'll stay. But, right. But I'm afraid that the counts are not going to be as high because we just hadn't pushed them. You know, I know sure. The ducks aren't here, but all the other birds aren't here either. You know, a lot of them, and I don't know exactly. I can't name all 248 of them, but I can find them.
There's a bunch of them, man. I can't.
There's a bunch of them. Yeah.
I know, Anahuac's a big hot spot for, you know, your Audubon people, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Do a lot of watching.
A lot of watching. And that, you know, and they, and that other side of the aisle, you know, that doesn't like us to hunt and everything, don't realize how much we really love these animals and pump, and, you know, our dollars just pump so much into, you know, if we didn't duck hunt, you know, all this water is not cheap. It takes a lot of money to pump it up. And if we, especially on a drought year like this year, you know, if we didn't pump up fresh water for them, you know, that's just crucial habitat.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any water for them if the hounds didn't add it.
You think we're just going to pump it up? Yeah, I can't pump up and spend a $25,000 bill to pump up, you know, just to look at birds? No. So hunters do so much, for conservation and everything. Yeah, we like to shoot them, you know, that time, but ours account for a small percentage of mortality. I mean, it's not having proper habitat.
Right.
It affects the mortality rate on avian activity more than anything. So, I mean, heck, if I would, you know, same thing out here in this marsh. You know, we've done so many projects in this marsh out here to hold water and to catch that water and catch that free fresh water.
Well, hunters do a lot for the resource, a lot for the birds.
It takes money to,
everything.
Yeah, to run the equipment, to run bulldozers and maintainers and all that, man.
Big money.
The guys running that, big money. And that's the only way you move this dome out here to hold water. So,
well, unfortunately, I'm out of time, man.
Well, we're sitting on four. They're going to fly.
Well, that's all right. You don't have far to go.
No, we don't. We only got a couple of guys.
Uh-huh. So about 8 or 10 out of two different flocks. You maybe can strap. All right, Bink. Well, hey, buddy, if somebody wants to call you about coming over and doing some duck hunting, fishing, staying in your lodge, whole nine yards, give them some info.
Yeah, we'll have some room to hunt after the week after Christmas and the end of January. So if people want to do it, fishing's going to be really good, too. So,
sure.
All through December. I know Charlie P. told y'all that this morning, and it's been good. So, MatagordaSunriseLodge.com or 979-241-1705.
All right, man. Well, y'all have a good shoot. Be safe and get that dog busy. She's ready to rock.
All right, later on.
All right, man. Later. All right, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.